Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Wrong damn button. I'm told that the proper greeting for this, according to Tim from L.A., is Hayaku Harinasai, I think. I don't know. I may have just, who knows. But yeah, well, howdy, because I had the fader up, but I didn't unmute the mic, so at least we've gotten that out of the way. It's a minute past the hour. This is the third day of February, 2016. And this is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go. If you want to jump into the chat room with the likes of Anatole, Jug of Punch, Tim from L.A., longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, and me, more folks will be arriving presently. You know how it is, especially on prayer meeting Wednesday, especially when we have Hulk Glory had such a fine, upstanding, God-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual fellowship hall meal. Oh, mercy sakes, I tell you what, it was a fish fry tonight. The little old blue-haired ladies are getting prepared for Lent, which we don't celebrate, but it is a pretty darn fine opportunity to stretch their culinary muscles out beyond meatloaf. Wasn't that a Dr. Seuss book, On Beyond Meatloaf? No. No, yeah, it was the famous Dr. Seuss-Julia Child collaboration, I believe. Never mind. Oh, I think I'm in a silly mood this evening. This is HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live, and it's where you go if you want to help us keep the lights on, keep this operation going. We try to raise $200 every evening, and thanks to Horn subscribers, we don't have a hole to fill in this evening. My goodness gracious, we all appreciate that. We appreciate our subscribers so very much, because when we end with a hole to fill in like we did last night, sometimes a subscriber evening can be quite helpful. So thanks go out to Ron, and thanks go out to John. Ron and John, we're on a roll. Thanks also go out to Terry and to Greg. To Timothy. And to Janice, all of whom are subscribers to The Horn and all of whom help us meet our monthly goal each and every month. It's really, really nice, because it means that we start in the clear this evening, and we start with Tracy's $50 challenge on the table. So thank you very kindly for that, Tracy. And we got $200 to raise, and you know, hopefully when the plate passes, we'll do that. Like I said, it was a lovely, lovely fellowship hall dinner this evening, this prayer meeting Wednesday for the third day of February 2016. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Yes. They had some catfish fillets that they pan fried, and mercy sakes, it was so good. They made that They made that wonderful, wonderful tartar sauce that you can't hardly get anywhere anymore. The stuff with the ground cabbage and the ground, they just grind it to a pulp in the food processor. I mean, little old blue-haired ladies just sit there pressing that button like they're playing penny slots. I mean, zzz, 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 zzz. And the cabbage gets ground to a pulp, and the onion gets ground to a pulp, and the green pepper gets ground to a pulp, and they fold that all in with some mayonnaise and some sour cream, squeeze in a little bit of lemon juice, throw in some dill weed and some dill cubes. Not that nasty sweet pickle relish cube. No, dill cubes. Fold it all together, put it in the refrigerator, let it set, and ho! Oh, on a piece of fried fish, merciful goodness. Yeah, there was home hand-cut French fries. Yes, indeedy. And it was the homemade coleslaw. Oh, it was a real different turn for this time of year among the little old blue-haired ladies in the fellowship hall kitchen. Oh, goodness me, gracious sakes alive! And then that this time of year, you want to remember that there are warm climates out there, and that coconut cream and that banana cream pie with the marangoo on top. Oh, goodness gracious, I tell you what, the deacons landed on the dessert table like the veritable locusts attacking Egypt of old. Hallelujah. Amen. They stuffed their faces. The little kids were left to fight over the crumbs. And as the deacons trundled their bulk upstairs through and out into the parking lot, where they enjoyed their post-prandial smokes out there with the sinners. But we have, brethren and sistren, we have chased the deacons away from the sinners. They always claim to be witnessing, but one of them, they smoke SBE cigarettes, somebody else's, and hence that's why the sinners come in so handy. But we've chased them out of the parking lot. We've chased them in through the vestibule. We've cattle prodded them down past that 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints, and we've got them standing in the front here, standing in the front with those heavy, heavy velvet lined, big brass offering plates with the PayPal logo in the middle. And here in a minute, we're going to ask the Minister of Music to come forward and lead us in the traditional Ever Prayer Meeting Wednesday offertory hymn. Ha, glory, hallelujah, amen. Oh, yes, indeed. And they'll be passing those plates by, brethren and sister, and with every head bowed and every eye closed, because you never know when the chance will come again to help keep the cathedral of common sense up and a ministering and a witness and glory, hallelujah, amen. Just kind of as with your head bowed and your eye closed, but one eye cracked just a little bit open so you can see that plate coming at you so you don't get cronked in the noggin, and take it and just pass it on, punch the little PayPal button and pass it on to the next member of the congregation. Amen. Amen. Ain't God good? Hallelujah. Glory. So I will ask, brethren and sistren, help! Amen. I'll ask the Minister of Music to step forward here and lead us. Lead us in our offertory hymn. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say,
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh! Put Sut Rawson on the real Orion, a brawl, a suet. Hallelujah. I love you. Praise Jeebus and welcome. Welcome one and all to the third day of February, Prayer Meeting Wednesday, on Amen the Horn. Oh, glory. I'm a-calling to you now, brethren and sisters, and I want you to get up off of your seats and onto your feet and come on out. Come on out into the aisle and follow that blood-red aisle all the way down here to the front of the sanctuary and fall upon your knees at the altar and lay, how glory, your hands upon, how the subwoofer, and how, amen, glory, sanctify his holy name. Feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from on high, the server, help, amen, on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan Bob Kincaid, and this here is the Prayer Meeting Wednesday in the Cathedral of Common Sense. Brethren and sisters, heroic tales of faith, heroic accounts of testifying and a witness in glory. Amen. We have for you this evening. Oh, but I tell you what, that you want to talk about the power, the inherent, unquestionable, undeniable, irrefutable power of faith. Well, I can tell you that a person called to the service of the Lord receives many gifts from the Holy Spirit. Amen. And one of which is an enhanced sense of smell. Amen, amen. There we were waiting. I was watching as the little old blue-haired ladies pulled them meringue pies out of the oven. And as they reached with their Irving mitts on their hands into the Irving and pulled those meringue pies out. Oh, mercy. Oh, the smell was like unto a perfume of ancient Israel, except without the donkeys. Amen, amen. And I can tell you the power of the sensory overload, because just as I began to smell those pies myself, I heard the clatter and bang of a somewhat overused and perhaps poorly maintained radial engine outside, and I looked, and yea, verily, there it was on the horizon, fast approaching the mooring mast that we have built here at the Cathedral of Common Sense. It was, in fact, the dirigible Zerubbabel. Yes, yes, he has returned. He has stopped in from his many Herculean labors, except for the fact that Hercules walked around in a loincloth and things like that, and didn't believe in Jeebus. But yes, yes, Brother Pastor Pillow is with us again in the Cathedral of Common Sense. Come on out, Pastor Pillow. Hide not thy light under a bushel or a peck. And we'll just forego the hug around the neck. Pastor Pillow, brother, welcome to Prayer Meeting Wednesday.
Oh, don't be minding my Philadelphia, Brother Bob. Oh, the power, wonder-working power of the Lord. Oh, Brother Bob, let me just slide on by my polonium gopherwood lectern that I bring with me everywhere I do preach and give all of you a big old Philadelphic hug. Oh, we can't pass on that hug, Brother Bob. That's where the spirit begins, with the love, the Philadelphic love, the agape love, and for me and Mrs. Pillow, the love of Eros. But there's a whole other love. Brother Bob, it's so good to see you. Brother Bob, are you there?
It is indeed a joy in the Lord to have you, glory, back among the flock, and to see you just flocking your way through the prayer meeting Wednesday table, Pastor Pillow. It's obvious you have been denying yourself, engaging, I dare say, in some self abnegation through, I don't know, apparently not eating real well. You're almost looking right bony.
Oh, no, that ain't quite the truth. Now, there's a word that the Spirit, the pneuma of the Most High, has been putting upon me. Brother Bob, can I share it right now?
Share, yes. Pastor, share.
It is the word succor. Succor, Brother Bob. The assistance and support that they love.
I thought that was the corn part of the corn and bean succotash.
Well, no, but Brother Bob, but the Lord does give assistance or aid to us, whether it be a bowl of succotash, or perhaps he brings an anointed one down upon us and blesses us with an anointing. Brother Bob, succor is on my mind. Succor is something that the Lord God gives to us. In the scripture, now, we have the succor of the Lord in 1 Chronicles 18, chapter 18, verse 5. And then when the Syrians, no, no, not Bashar al-Assad Syrians, way back when in
no,
the day.
No. This would be more your Ashurbanipal Syrians, wouldn't it?
The Ashurbanipal Syrians, way back when the Syrians of Damascus came to succor Hadrezer, king of Zobah, David smote of the Syrians. And in the Psalms we read, "Be not thou far off, O Jehovah, O thou my succor. Haste thee to help me." Again in the Psalms, "The God of my mercy will succor me. God will let me see my desire upon my enemies." Succor has been on my mind. God gives us succor in a time of need. And I have just come from the great land of the cornfields. From a blessing of the third offering, the likes of which we have never seen.
You've been to Iowa Way, haven't you?
I have been to the Iowa Way. The Lord did provide a special check. Somebody did cash all of their bonds in and did give them to the Lord for the right service to Cubic Zirconium Cathedral Ministries. And I did invest immediately in the Field of Dreams in Dyersville, Iowa. And I established thereunto a special caucus, knowing that the Lord had given us a succor. It was the Cubic Zirconium Cathedral Succor Caucus. We did hold it just this past Monday.
That sounds a mite prurient, Pastor Pillow.
Well, no, we did hold the Succor Caucus in consistent with all Christian ethics. We did not let a single Muslim onto the vote, not a single Hindu, not a single follower of Richard Dawkins. It was truly...
No Jains, no Sikhs, no animists, no Wiccans.
Oh, what thou shalt seek, thou shalt find, Brother Bob, is the only Sikh we did allow into the Succor Caucus, the Evangelical Succor Caucus. And we did learn a great thing. Oh, we did learn a great thing, Brother Bob. Oh, in the scriptures it does say, again in the Psalms, the Lord has been putting me in the Psalms of late, unto the lyre of David. Psalm 30, verse 5. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his, praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his joy comes in the morning. Brother Bob. His joy comes in the morning. And do you know what else comes in the morning, Brother Bob?
Yeah. Would you tell us?
At the evangelical sarcophagus, that which does come in the morning is a victory unto Ted Cruz, Brother Bob.
And see, that's where
I got confused,
because Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time for some reason or another, he said joy comes in the morning, and I thought his wife's name was Heidi.
Well, let me think about that, Brother Bob, for a minute. Perhaps he is one of the polygamous Cruises. He's following the Old Testament.
Well, I must say, Pastor Pilla, I was impressed with the evangelical fervor of the Iowegian Republicans as they stood there gathered together in a mass, hollering, "Crucify them! Crucify them!" had our Lord and Savior had chosen that moment in time and that place in space, at which to reappear, to come again. Sometimes when joy comes in the morning, it comes again. But if he had showed up then, hearing all them Republicans hollering, "Crucify them," he might have just turned around and went home.
Oh, he knows he is an anointed one. And in the morning, joy did come, and so did victory for Ted Cruz. Now, you know, Brother Bob, not too long ago, because I am the paid personal chaplain for almost all of these, for Mr. Christie, Governor Casey, and Senator Rubio, and all of them. They were not aware until too long ago that I was all their personal pastors. And I figured it would be efficient of my time to gather them all together, you see, into a room and to counsel them all. And what we attempted was to create a council, as in the book of Judges, right? Instead of you know the Lord does despise a monarchy, which he did show. He said he gave over Saul to the Israelites and said, "Fine, if you want a king, you may have Saul. I will give you King Saul, but you will not be pleased. You should be more pleased with my
council." Well, that was a fine howdy-do, wasn't it?
Well,
Hobson hadn't even been, Hobson's choice hadn't even come along yet. You can have the rotten king I'm going to give you, or no king at all.
No, we are not pro-choice here, Brother Bob. Let's be very clear about that. There's no pro-choice here about this. But we did gather them together, and I thought perhaps the Lord had called a council of judges to reign into the coming kingdom that would consist of Rand and Christie and Trump.
Rand ain't gonna be no consistent, because he declared that he is suspending his campaign, but there is lots more fight left in him. Fight for his life for his Senate seat, more like, I figure.
He of little faith, Mr. Rand. Senator Rand, it does not matter, for we are past that point. Because it then became clear that the true anointed, the mantle of the presidency of the United States, the only divine kingdom on this planet, did fall onto Theodore Cruz. And the victory was his. And we head now into the Granite State. And as you know, I got the Zerubbabel up and in the air and headed toward New England right away. So we are not preaching the gospel of Cruz. Everywhere we go, we are preaching the gospel of Cruz. Joy comes in the morning was the message of the Sucker Caucus. And so does Ted Cruz. And here I am today to celebrate and spread the gospel with you, Brother. Oh, Brother Baum.
Yes, Pastor Pillar.
Sometimes it just hits you like a pang of indigestion when the Lord does call. I can see you right now, Brother Bob.
Well, you should. We're standing right here on the same podium.
No, not you. I can see you, but between you, me, and the Pawneum Gopher Wood $15,000 pedestal that I do carry with me everywhere. No, not that. In the spirit,
You still got your umums and thummums with you, by the way?
My umums and thummums?
Your umums and your thummums and your seeing stone hat. For when you go a witness among the Mormons.
What? I got my fez cap too to talk to the Mohammedans, brother.
And the Shriners?
They're a hard bunch. They're a hard nut to crack.
When you catch them sober.
Thee in the Opus Dei. I don't know what you do about that. And Mormons on their bicycles.
Well, I was just asking because, you know, from time to time, little Marco Rubio, that little tiny presidential candidate, because I know you witnesses to all of them, but you know he's been a Mormon periodically.
Well, in our personal pastoral sessions, he did mention to me something about the Church of Latter Day Saints.
Well, I have a couple of observations here, a couple of announcements for the congregation, if you don't mind.
Yes, Brother Bob. There's a nice plate of sun-dried panfish over there. Let me go grab a bite.
I have another note from Deacon Gerald, the deacon of the buildings and grounds, again asking that whoever's spitting the sunflower seed hulls into the men's room urinal, please stop it. They're plugging up the plumbing something fierce. We put an extra trash can in there right next to the urinal for folks to spit them in. And you know what? You can spit out your dips there, too, because ain't nobody wants to see that. No, not at all. And also, if the congregation, Deacon Gerald asks, if the congregation would please stop drawing them dirty pictures in the back of the hymnal books, the churns are beginning to ask questions that are best asked, you know, in the home. And that brings me to the evening's correspondence. We save the correspondence. Pastor Pilla frequently receives correspondence here, and we accept mail delivery for him.
Mail has arrived, Brother.
Yeah, I want you to know that we tend to turn the packages away lest any of them heathens get the wise idea to start ascending a marital aids to you like they done with them God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Kolob-centered Christians up there in Oregon. But I do. I've got some, and this fits right in with your message there.
I think you're very cautious around the packages, Brother.
Absolutely. I would not want you to be harmed by, like, you know, an improvised dildo device or anything. That's an IDD.
There's a package.
But I got a letter here for you because this comes from Iowegia. Because you've been out there and you've experienced the fervor of revival out amongst the corn stalks. Dear Pastor Pilla, Monday night I took my 16-year-old daughter to my local precinct in Shady Grove, Iowa. We were there to cast our godly vote for the godly Ted Cruz, a real Christian, a real American, and a real patriot. Because Republicans know how to run a caucus, we got our results early. I was delighted to see our next president give his homily after the win, but I become concerned with the content of his biblical message. There was joy in coming in the morning, and such, and frankly, I had to cover the ears of my grinning hormonal teen daughter. Now, I'm certain that as an advisor to Mr. Cruz, you have his ear. Could you kindly ask him in his next 49 victory speeches if he could just share the message of Jesus' hatred of the liberals and the gays and the poors and the blacks and the tourists and the Mexicans and leave the sexy time parts out of it about joy coming in the morning because we don't even know who joy is. But if you would, I'd be deeply grateful. Praise the Lord and God bless the entire Cruz family. Darlene Maziel, Friendship Corners, Iowa. You reckon you can get that done?
Well, now, Brother Bob, I'm just now, with some slight embarrassment, realizing the double entendre that may have resulted from several things and suck your caucus nine. I am now seeing how, yes, there is a word that has been done taken out of context, Brother Bob. Yes. Let's put it this way. Going forward in the Granite State, there'll be no cruising. If you know what I mean.
By next prayer meeting Wednesday, we'll probably be getting correspondence from New Hampshire there, from the Granite State. After some intendering like you just done.
You're on the campaign trail, Brother Bob, and it's fatiguing. I mean, it is
fatiguing. You're up all night long. And you know, perhaps a finger or two of the brown liquid and things. You know, Friendship Corners, I can guarantee you there'll be no more going forward. Joy shall arrive in the morning.
That's probably going to work a little bit better. I have another piece of correspondence.
I did have one concern, Brother Bob, and maybe we should take care of this before the Granite State, before New Hampshire, because it does appear that Ted Cruz's new song, you know how these celebrities do give licensure to songs for that?
Yes.
Well, the problem is Ted Cruz has just licensed Norwegian Wood.
No.
So perhaps, give me a reminder right after tonight's show that I perhaps should place a call to the campaign.
You might want to be doing that. Probably use that zirconium plated phone up there in the dirigibel.
Yeah, no, we will use the paraclete carrier pigeon if we have to.
Or Paracelsus, absolutely. I have a question from Brother Jim. He says, "Please interpret this dream for me."
Ooh.
Chris Christie was sitting on my face. As I know, both of you are so blessed. Signed, Fully Frontal.
Dream, Brother Baum.
Dreams.
Well,
Daniel did have his vision.
Daniel did have his vision of the statue with the clay feet.
That is right. And then there was.
There was
Pharaoh's dream of the dancing cows. Saying I'm rubber and you're glue. What stick bounces off? Whatever it was,
but
there's a lot of important dreaming been going on throughout your biblical history there.
But I do see this dream. I am in the spirit right now, Brother Bob. If you let me go touch my gopher wood Pawneum lectern right now to get the spirit totally juicing through me, I do see the vision right now of the governor Chris Christie.
Yes.
And he is straddling.
Sitting was the word.
I do see those.
I don't know if he was a straddle or sitting with the legs crossed.
No, I can see the legs perfectly well. I see toes of pepperoni. I see feet of calzone. I see legs of kielbasa.
Brother Amen. Paul.
I'm in the spirit right now. I am seeing the full
thighs of soppressata.
Oh,
buttocks of mortadella.
Oh, I see an abdomen of mozzarella.
Oh, glory. Keep interpreting. I think it's rubbing off.
I see arms of gorgonzola. I see hair of angel pasta. I see drool of potato vodka. I do see the governor straddling. I see the governor in all of his deli state. I do not see him straddling. Yes, it is there. I do see it. And as to interpretation of the dream, I think the governor's bid for presidential nomination. Are you familiar with the Greek word telos?
I am.
It has, in fact, teleology, the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is an end here. And I'm not talking about...
Well, I think the end is the part that's doing the sitting.
Well, yes, I'm not talking about the choice pork cut of Christie's end. Not that end. I mean, his bid is ended. He's done. The meaning of the dream is Chris Christie is finito. The man couldn't hope to even be the ambassador of Uruguay, so saith the Lord.
Thus,
it has nothing to do with the fact that he's terminated his contract for my personal pastoral assistance. That's all I have to say, brother.
Well, the campaign's running a little thin on cash, but, I mean, so also Sprock, Pastor Pilla. By the way, their confession is, of course, good for the soul. I have a note from Sister Carol. Sister Carol says, I'd like to apologize to the whole congregation for doodling in the back of the hymnals. I get bored during personal testimonials sometimes. No more dick pics. See, don't you feel better, Sister Carol? Don't you? Don't you? Yeah, of course you do. And
Sister Carol, I want to meet you straight after the meeting, the prayer meeting tonight, the revival meeting tonight. You and I shall do a personal study of Song of Solomon.
Yeah. No. Now we counseled on that, Pastor Pilla. You can preach on just about anything. No, you got it. We talked about it. Yep. Listen, after the last restraining order, we had a long talk about you and your affection for the Song of Solomon and then other verses talking about the fellers what's hung like donkeys and things like that.
I can't get
just because it's in the Bible don't mean you need to preach it.
I can't get Zondervan or Erdmans or Fortune Press or any evangelical publisher to go with my notion for the pop-up scratch-and-sniff Song of Solomon. Nobody likes it. I just don't get it, Brother Bob. I've published 75 books. I'm one of the best-selling authors in all the globe. And yet nobody will publish my scratch-and-sniff pop-up Kama Sutra. Or not Kama Sutra, Song of Solomon.
I'm beginning to think the counseling didn't take.
Brother Bob, I have sinned.
Again.
Oh, confession is good, Brother Bob. Okay, now where are we? Oh, wait, I see in Wichita somebody's ready to give, Brother Bob. Oh,
in Wichita?
No,
that's the home of the Koch brothers. Here at the Cathedral of Common Sense, we'll take us some Koch brothers money. We're not proud. It all goes to the service of the Lord.
Yeah, okay, take your Koch. Coke is it? But really, Brother Bob, somewhere in Flint, Michigan right now. Somewhere in Michigan, Flint, the city of Flint, Michigan right now, there are not just one, not just two, but dozens of families ready to pay their water bills, Brother Bob. But the Lord is calling upon them saying, do not pay your water bill. Give the money to Brother Bob and the horn in care of
1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801.
And in Pyongyang tonight, there's a mad dictator making a choice. Do I invest in another scoop of stolen refined plutonium? Or do I give my millions to Brother Bob Kincaid? If you're out there tonight, and you are a dictator of some mad state, the Lord is speaking to you. Open up your PayPal account right now and give the funds to
The Horn, whose PayPal page may be accessed at headonradionetwork.com/contribute.
Oh, Brother Bob, I'm back now. I don't know what... I was just away in the spirit.
No, I understand. I understand. Sometimes, when the spirit... Well, it's hard to avoid being slain in the spirit when the spirit is upon you.
When the spirit comes, Brother Bob.
Joy in the morning.
Now, we just did have a talk about that.
Well, I ain't never experienced it that it weren't joyful.
You know... We're gonna have
It's kind of like pizza. Primary. It's kind of like pizza. When it's bad, it's still pretty good.
You know, we keep a pile of Tostino's pizzas, Totino's, Red Baron. I don't know. Oh, they're frozen.
I prefer the little pizza pockets there when they, if you put them in the Irving just right, and you bake them just so, and you watch them real close right before they get ready to explode and put all their pizza goodness goo out onto the aluminum foil.
Brother Bob, stop now! You got me all excited.
Like I said, you ain't been eating right.
No, I've been eating to the far right.
All right. Well, you know what? Coming back from Iowa away, Stan, running around amongst them good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, amosexual, evangelical, gundamentalists, I reckon your cholesterol somewhere somewhere in the stratosphere.
Brother Bob, it is not easy. Do you know, Brother Bob, how long it has been since we have assumed Pennsylvania Avenue? Since that evil
Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, yes.
Took the throne of God. overthrew Jerusalem and tore down the walls of the temple. It has been years, Brother Bob. He's within our sight. And the Messiah, Theodore, get us there. Please get us there, Theodore. Lord Jesus Christ, keep Brother Ted on the straight and narrow path these next few weeks.
Well, amen. And you mentioned Theodore, and that reminds me, another one of those workers for the future kingdom of God is out there explaining exactly where America needs to be going. Are you familiar with Theodore Chabot?
Theodore Chabot. Was he one of the attendants of the high priest Aaron?
No, neither was he. Neither was he the bass player for Iron Butterfly. He is a right wing blogger. It was a video blogger. He points the camera at himself and starts getting all slain in the spirit and whatnot. He's the son of Waleed Chabot, who is a terrorism hustler. But he is
Boy, is that a magazine, Brother Bob? Is that a Larry Flint publication?
No, sadly no. But he's out there telling and understand. Theodore Chabot has been. He has been in a movie. He's been in a movie with Rand Paul and that thing on his head, and Pastor Brother Governor, former presidential candidate Mike Huckabee. He's been in a movie with him talking about all the sin, what's going on in America. And I have his, since it is prayer meeting Wednesday here in the Cathedral of Common Sense, Pastor Pillow, I got some of his testifying here. And you know, we often ask ourselves, we do, in the course of our purpose-driven ministry here, we ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Well, Theodore Chabot apparently knows. And according to Theodore Chabot, what would Jesus do? Jesus would kill him some homos. Just listen up. Well, daggone it. Hang on here a minute.
No. Sometimes the spirit has some ways. Brother Bob, while you are bringing up the audio, I shall continue.
Well,
to
I thought come through me.
I
hate it when the spirit has to do that. It will stand by here a minute. Daggone it. But,
In the meantime,
praise Jesus.
Amazing grace. How sweet.
When you have a society that is so collectively adamant about this, then you have the sodomites who are coming out into the streets, and the Christians will come and beat them up. And this happens a lot in Serbia.
No, I'll be dipped.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. But now I see.
Well, apparently the Lord don't want us to hear about Theodore Chabot, but that's okay. I can read you what he done said. I just thought it'd be more fun if we had the live version.
Unless you want to hear all verse two, but you know how I get about the singing, brother.
Well,
I know.
It's just a sacrifice.
I want to sing with the choir, Brother Bob.
Skip a bit, brother. When you have the sodomites coming out into the streets and the Christians come and beat them up, the people who are beating up the sodomites don't really get punished because society is so conditioned that way. If there's a law written in the hearts of the people, then the people who are fighting this evil physically with their hands, fighting them, beating them up, those people are not going to get in trouble. Jesus Christ took up a whip and beat people in his father's temple. Now imagine if sodomites were in his father's temple. Jesus would have killed them all. He wouldn't have just hit them. Jesus got violent. So that's, and just in case anybody's wondering, for some reason or another, this fella has not seen the light and has not yet pledged his obedience and his faith and his undying devotion to our future anointed king, but instead persists in following that hedonistic sinner, T-Rump. Go figure. But see, that's what the evangelical fundamentalists need to do is go out and whomp a homo as often as you can.
Brother Bob, pardon me. You I lost my train of thought with you, Brother Bob. I apologize. I was fantasizing. I was fantasizing about the homo womping. Because there's so many instances in the Old Testament where God, where the Lord, where Jehovah Slaughterer did say, take them out. Don't just take them out. Take out their children.
Well, it is.
Off the face of the earth, for they are unclean, and they are poop in the urinal to me.
Well past sunflower seeds, I'd have to say.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Old Testament stands for itself. I mean, sometimes the Lord...
Yeah, kill them all, men, women, children, beasts of the field, things that fly, things that crawl, things that creep upon the ground and swim in the streams. Kill them all. It's right there.
Brother Bob, can you repeat to us the letter of Darlene in Friendly Corners again?
I
think there might be something we have missed. I want to circle back, as it were.
Yeah, all right, I can do that. I can do that. Monday night, I took my 16-year-old daughter to my local precinct in Shady Grove, Iowa. We went there to cast our vote for the godly Ted Cruz, a real Christian, a real American, and a real patriot. Because Republicans know how to run a caucus, we got our results early. I was delighted to see our next president give his homily after the win, but I became concerned with the context of his biblical message. There was joy and coming in the morning and such, and frankly, I had to cover the ears of my grinning hormonal teen daughter. Quit thinking about the grinning hormonal teen daughter. We've counseled on this, Pastor Phillip. Oh. Now, I'm certain that as an advisor to Mr. Cruz, you have his ear. Could you kindly ask him in his next 49 victory speeches if he could just share the message of Jesus' hatred of liberals and the gays and the poors and the blacks and the terrorists and the Mexicans and leave the sexy time parts out of it? I'd be deeply grateful.
Oh, Darlene, oh, did she happen to include
Darlene,
her phone number, Brother
Darlene,
Bob?
Darlene, I'm begging you, please, don't take your hormonal teenage daughter to Ted Cruz rallies.
No, take her to the Zerubbabel blimp, Brother Bob.
I'm beginning to think you're not taking our counseling sessions quite seriously enough.
Brother Bob, here we go again, Brother Bob. I know it's been a while, but Mrs. Pillow done.
You can't all the time. You cannot.
It's far worse than anything.
You cannot. You cannot all the time be blaming Mrs. Pastor Pillow now. You're a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Republican. You got to take personal responsibility.
Mrs. Pillow done run off with Jebbia. Brother Bob.
Jebbia?
She run off with Jebbia.
What's Guadalupe going to say? Have they done busted up or something?
Guadalupe, what chapter and verse?
No, Jebbia's wife.
Oh, he's married? That makes it even... Wait, now, hold on. By Old Testament law, I have a right to pick up a stone and crush her skull. Jebbia is married. I might have had that right anyways, just by being married.
Well, now, according to biblical law, you do have the right to demand payment from Jebbia for her.
Payment from Jebbia? Now, I was in tears just a moment ago. Let me think this through now. I have a right to demand payment from Jebbia. Well, if you had the bushes by the testicles, now there's a thought cloud for you. What would you take, Brother Bob?
For what?
Well, I have a right to demand something in return for him boning Mrs. Pillow.
Nah, there is no evidence that he is boning nothing. In fact, from the nature of the campaign, it looks like he doesn't have that kind of energy.
ordinary speechwriter, Brother Bob. Have you ever seen a Jebus speech?
Yes. I sort of nodded off during one time.
Precisely. I know Mrs. Pillow done run off with Jebby and terrible, horrible things are happening. Suck her caucus, Balaam's ass. Brother Bob, I'm lonely. I gotta get into this. Cubic Zirconium Cathedral Ministries.
Well, we are not going to have the in-flight phone reinstalled in the dirigible. We're still paying off your bill from last time. Daggummit. Them calls to www.spankapreacher.com, they add up after a while.
I just hired one Wheaton College junior to accompany me on my presidential labor. One, Brother Bob, committed junior, nubile female to accompany me and provide succor, as in the old age of King David. Nothing more than just providing me warmth in the sack at night.
You're getting a little graphic there, Brother Pastor Pilla.
I mean the bed, Brother Bob, the sack, the bed.
You can't. Oh, we got so much counseling to do.
Brother Bob, it was a good panfish. It was seared. But I wonder if one of the old blue hairs did not perhaps put a little ointment in one of them fishes. Perhaps a little too much lecithin or vitamin to which I am susceptible, because I feel more open than I ever have. Brother Bob, come over here for a bit.
Now you quit that.
Oh, Brother Bob, I love you so much. The Lord provide.
Well, I want you to know that we have had the tithing has begun. Thank you very kindly. Thank you,
Brother Bob.
We have an anonymous tithe of $10 come in, and thank you very kindly to Dave for his non-anonymous tithe of 25. So, and I just received a note that there will be something appearing in the mailbox to make Boss Man Wayne's journeys to the P.O. box less of a lonesome thing. Thank you very kindly.
Some marshmallow ambrosia.
We're going to shoot. Pastor Pillow, we are going to shoot. Listen, I am not above shooting you in the neck with a Thorazine dart again. You remember how much you didn't enjoy that last time.
No, I did not, Brother Bob. I do admit waking up upside down in the St. Andrew's crucified position was enough to calm me down.
Apparently it didn't last.
Brother Bob, can you hear my pussy?
You've been drinking. You've been drinking, haven't you, Pastor Pilla? You've been into that sacramental wine. I thought we hid the keys to the cabinet.
My old granddad was just sitting there on the tarmac when I got off, Brother Bob. Bottle of old granddad, I'm sure Lucifer himself put it there.
Well, you know, Sister Carol has just mentioned that Pastor Pilla needs a little saltpeter, I think. Not Saint Peter, saltpeter. You want warmth, get a heating pad. Yeah, a hot water bottle, even.
I got to call Ted Cruz and tell him to cancel the licensure for Norwegian Wood.
Norwegian Wood what?
The song.
I never understood what a Norwegian Wood. I mean, there's got to be the other part of the verb there.
After joy comes in the morning, Brother Bob.
Oh, Pastor Pilla. I think it's time. I don't know if we're going to let you go to New Hampshire.
Listen to this. Listen, I think the Lord has done sent a creature up to us, Brother Bob. Can you hear on him?
I hear. It sounds like you got a creature.
I got a pussy next to me, Brother Bob. It will not stop. Up onto the stage, done hopped the tomcat. Sent by the Lord.
Well, as long as it's not a calico, because you got to remember. Brother Bishop Attorney General John Ashcroft done told us several years ago, probably more in excess of 10 years, how all calico cats is possessed by the demons.
this one. Look, it doesn't look like a Norwegian photo.
Run, Kitty, run, run.
Do you remember? Well, no, I'm not that desperate, Brother Bob. Do you remember when the Lord did send unto St. Peter that basket or that net of animals to send a message?
I think that was animals, not animas, and I think it was a vision.
Right. Oh, well, it may have been a bit. Well, at any rate, at that time, the Jews were uncertain whether they should let the Gentiles into the faith. Well, I do believe the Lord has sent this pussy unto us, Brother Bob. It is a long-haired pussy. It's purring, Brother Bob. It's soft in the spirit.
See, we got folks worried out there now. Brother Thomas has done writ in and said, if you give communion and somebody placed some 50s in the plate, you'd make sure to take it to God, wouldn't you, Brother Bob? It would, after all, help with the counseling fees that King Barry Care doesn't cover. Thomas, Bob, you have no idea what we have spent on counseling for Pastor Pella.
The long-haired pussy is licking my hand, Brother Bob. There is a message from Jehovah in all of this.
Well, I wish he'd quit being so damned obtuse about it.
No, it's telling us, Brother Bob, everything's going to be all right. Very soon, saith the Lord.
Soon and very soon.
We will anoint our king. Soon and very soon. We are going to anoint Ted. Soon and very soon. We are going to anoint Ted.
Crucify them. Crucify them.
Soon and very soon. We will anoint Brother Ted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Bob, the pussy. Lick me again so softly.
Oh, dadgummit, you're going to get cat hairs in the communion crackers. I wish you'd quit it.
Oh, I know, Brother Bob, but it's a sign from the Lord. And I brought so much tension onto the tent revival platform tonight. Now, I'm leaving with a peace that passes all understanding. All will be well when Brother Ted, when Theodore, Greek for the gift of God, Theos Doros.
Absolutely.
The gift of God shall ascend unto 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and all will be well. For the order shall come to slay the homo and the Muslim, the Hamadian, the Hindu, the atheist. All shall be well when the minimum wage is eliminated, when Obamacare is struck down, and all will be left at the hands of the oligarchy. Then finally God shall come down in glory. Jesus riding on a pair of Air Force drones, and he shall slay all of the enemies of the kingdom of God, and all will be well. And that's just the first term, Brother Bob. That is just the first term. Therein will reign a 1,000-year presidency of the Republicans, and all will be well. All will be well. There is peace that passes all understanding. The pussy licketh. The long-haired pussy licketh my hand this evening, and I know that all will be well. And so I come back where I started this night. Joy comes in the morning. I lean upon my gopher wood, Parnium lectern, $15,000 that the Lord did provide. I lean upon it, and I look at my scripture, and I thumb through the Proverbs, and the Psalms, and the Ecclesiastes, and the Corinthians, and I touch the word of the Lord, and I know all will be well. All will be well, Brother Bob, for I have bought votes all over the country.
Indeed, indeed. Amen and amen. Worlds without end. Hallelujah, glory. Brother Pastor Pella, back to the dirigible with you.
Ta-ta.
No, stop. I don't know. I don't know. They say that some of them antidepressants will sort of suppress the libido, but my goodness gracious. Oh, Pastor Pella, go with God, but go. Eric, that was a lovely hour. But I swear, we got people worried out there. Thomas said, if you mention that one more time, I'm laughing too loud, and Brother Stephen might hit me with an empty 2-liter bottle, and cause a ruckus.
I'm a little concerned that the NSA might
Well, it might be about the same. The break room at NSA tonight.
Well, and then, you know, there's nothing. I mean, you started all that, and, well, I had this queued up. I think this is in the song it's all about. Anybody else, but I think about you, I touch myself. Anybody else, oh no, oh no, oh no. You're the one who makes me go. Oh, you was worrying me there, Eric. You was worrying me.
Well, you know, I was riding past your pillow on Saturday night, and the sucker caucus came to me, and all the rest of
came season. All over you, apparently.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to let loose. You know, there's a lot at stake right now. There is so much.
Well, there is, and all kidding aside, this business with Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to be an American for a really long, 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 long time, this is more than a little bit scary. I mean,
a lot of progressives were breathing a sigh of relief that Trump did not win. But as I pointed out,
this man's frightening.
Ted Cruz has real evangelical vampire fangs. Donald Trump doesn't believe a damn word he's saying. Let's be clear. This is all about his ego and the manifestation of power within it. But Ted Cruz is a believer. Everything that comes
out. Well, what were the first words out of his mouth? Not joy comes in the morning, but
my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
No, God is great.
Right.
Now, well, isn't it? Now, I mean, I just no. Wait, hold on, Eric, because I got a serious question. Isn't that the same thing that the people who blow up bars and shoot up Christmas luncheons and murder people in various and sundry other ways? Isn't that what they say right before they get started? God is great. Isn't that exactly what they say, and only kind of in a different language?
Well, I know I said it the night I got laid for my junior prom, but yes, it is the language of
Allahu Akbar.
Right. No, it couldn't have been a worse thing to say for a presidential candidate unless you happen to be a Republican. No, we know. I mean, listen, every single one of them, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, everybody else, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The only one who didn't was Donald Trump, who just came up to the stage and said, Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, I mean, and this audio is actually working. So, I mean, now here's Daddy. Here's Pappy Cruz, the guy who forgot, who left Cuba with money in his underwear and forgot to be an American for a really long time. This is him talking about inspiration of his boy with the Holy Spirit.
I would assume, you correct me, that you and your family, and especially Ted, have been called to run for president. How do you pray for him?
Well, I'll tell you, the decision to run for president of Ted was a long, long decision. Ted and his wife and family, they spent 6 months in prayer, just seeking the will of God as to what to do. And that culminated one time that the whole family was together. And even his senior staff, we were at attending a church service all together at First Baptist Church of Houston, where he's a member. And after church, we went up to the pastor's office. We spent 2 hours on our knees seeking God's will about this decision. And it was there where Heidi said a word that, I believe it was just inspiration from God. And she said, seek God's face, not God's hand. And that was just as if there was a presence of the Holy Spirit in the room. And that you know, we all were at awe, and Ted, just all that it came out of his mouth, he said, "Here am I, Lord, use me. Here am I, Lord, I surrender to whatever your will for my life is." And it was at that time that he felt the peace about running for president of the United States.
So that whole,
I don't know. What came out of his mouth?
"Here am I, God, use me."
All right, let's just start over. Let's just reboot planet Earth. I mean,
do over.
4.5 billion years. And what do we have to show for it? Lime yogurt and Ted Cruz. I don't get it.
Yeah, and not the first pair of helium-filled pants to be found. But wait, here I am, Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord, I surrender to whatever your will for my life is. And you know, I'm different from you, Eric. I'm not a believer. I'm not quite bold enough to say I'm an atheist, because, well, I'm not. I don't know what fuels the universe. I am an agnostic. I am a free thinker. I'm a non-believer. I am a non-follower of religious doctrine and dogma, and a non-believer in magic. If you have to do some sort of magic in order for your God to like you, or for that matter, if you have to wear special headgear or have your body mutilated in a particular way in order for your God to like you, I don't want anything to do with your God, because I think your God is probably fake.
Does that include my headphones?
Well, not unless God says you have to wear them. The only one that I know of that says you have to wear them is Bob. Because otherwise it makes for really shitty broadcasting. But the thing is that...
We've had a few of those.
That I surrender business? What is the literal translation of Islam?
Oh, I surrender?
Submission.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Submit. Yeah.
To the will of God.
But okay, let's take a step back. So all of this, you know, Ted Cruz speak and Marco Rubio speak and Eduardo Cruz speak. I mean, this is the language of evangelicals, right? If you grew up amongst them, as I did, and I think you did too. I mean, But it's jargon, right? I mean, anthropologically, it's jargon. They don't know what they're saying, or they're not especially aware of what they're saying. It's the language of that subculture. If you're from it, if you're not from it, it's foreign, and somebody might as well be.
Well, if you're not from it and of it and to it and through it, it sounds like absolute unmitigated madness.
Right, or a foreign language. I mean, it sounds like Chaucerian English, right? If you're from there, all the hairs in the back of your head rise if you ended up in a path of reason whatsoever. What the scariest part of all? Wait, did I just say part? The scariest parts of all?
Yeah, because there are several.
Actually, the scariest one is that Ted Cruz is a fervent believer of everything he says. Listen, I know Donald Trump. In my heart of hearts...
The sincerity, Eric, is part of what makes Raffaellito so, pardon me, goddamn terrifying.
Oh, that's what I was saying. I mean, if anybody breathes a sigh of relief that Ted Cruz might be the nominee over Donald Trump, take your breath back. Because Donald Trump, I still hold out hope. I still hold out hope that Trump is a practical joke.
Well, I don't I don't think so. I have come to the conclusion that Trump is some sort of a fifth columnist. I don't know for who. I'm beginning to think for Cruz, because remember, Donald Trump, so he's driven some companies into bankruptcy. He's really not that great of a real estate magnate. He's not a business visionary. But you know what he is, Eric? He's a really, really, really good reality television character.
What was his? I can't believe to this day that we are not seeing every single day images of him on WWE and professional wrestling.
Right, 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 right. And that's where I'm going, okay? There is something about this, the Cruz and Trump business that just smells a little too WWE, Vince Vaughn, Saturday Night at the Armory for me.
We know, listen, the only people, everybody knows that it's rigged. Okay, Donald Trump is rigged. The only people who don't know are the fools in the seats.
Yeah, but who's he working for? What's the end game, Eric?
Him with Donald Trump? Oh, I have seen it happen so many times.
No, but is this designed to put Trump to put Cruz in place, or is this designed? You know, because I mean, he had his friendships and his dalliances with the Clintons. Is this designed to help make sure that if she's the nominee, that she cruises into victory?
Well, I mean. I think that Donald Trump is an extremely intelligent human being who knows that he's playing the American people and all their pitchforks for something. But the fact that may be the case is enough of a reason to put the man away. Okay, but Ted Cruz earnestly believes every word that comes out of his own mouth, and that's what's the most terrifying. Is Ted Cruz actually believes he's an anointed human being, anointed by God to ascend to the presidency to establish some sort of a theocracy going forward, you know, to complement our oligarchy. Well, I mean, it's the two leading Republicans are terrifying on a level that is beyond compare. And I have to believe in my heart of hearts that civilization will prevail and give us either Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. And you know my thoughts on that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm a Bernie dude, thick and through. Would I take Hillary Clinton? Of course I would. Look at who we have just lampooned for the past hour. I don't know.
Sure, but I mean,
I don't know. At the end of the day, Bob, I want Martin Luther King Jr.'s audacious hope. That's what I want. That's what I want for humanity.
I don't think Martin Luther King Jr. ever told anybody following him that they could never, ever have something that they desperately wanted.
And also Martin Luther King Jr., who was a fervent believer and a minister, never once referred to himself as the anointed one or made such a cataclysmic fool of himself. You know, he was level-headed at the end of the day. We read MLK's Nobel Prize speech,
and he was capable of understanding. He was capable of studying an issue and understanding more and more and more of it.
It's perfectly possible to be a firm believer and adherent of faith, and hold fast the path of reason. You see that in people like MLK. Then you look at the Ted Cruz's of this world and their followers, and frankly, the Donald Trumps, because those are his followers too.
Well, apparently there is some agreement out there. Thomas just wrote in and said, and Thomas is not doubting. He said, Trump has spent $200,000 on Trump LLC. You can look it up. You're so right about the Trump being a red herring thing. Either way, Thomas says, I was saying Trump was in it to wipe the board originally, thought it was for Walker, but now I'm thinking Cruz. But it could be Rubio. But there's you know, to get all Sherlock Holmesy here, the game's afoot, Watson. Now we just have to figure out what the game is, because it is a game. Hey, before we wrap things up, I wanted to give you a chance to tell folks about your new book.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a mad politics kind of week. I'm putting together a huge event in Colombia for Bernie Sanders on Valentine's weekend, and in the midst of all the things that have happened, I published a book. I haven't even had a chance to talk about it to anybody, so this is great. Yeah, you know, last year. last year in the aftermath of the Emmanuel AME killings that happened just down the road in Charleston, and I live in Columbia, South Carolina, I spent an awful lot of time thinking about civilization. And we often think, oh, sure, there's civilization. I mean, look, the space shuttles and Voyagers exceeded the solar system, and you can point to all sorts of technology. And no, that's not civilization in my mind. And at any rate, began a quest going, are we civilized? Have we even started to civilize? Are we just at the beginning of building a foundation for civilization? And I spent a year really thinking hard about it. I wrote a number of articles for ForwardProgressives.com about civilization. Are we there yet? And I wrote all of my articles on Pantheos and other websites in my blog, really thinking about the question of civilization in hand. And I finally, at the end of the year, I found myself with a manuscript and published it. It's called Waiting for Civilization. You can find it on Amazon as an ebook or paperback. I really spent a year examining civilization, and especially my passion for Albert Schweitzer and reverence for life, and using his philosophy and applying it to where we're at. Albert Schweitzer said, Albert Schweitzer was the great academician, perhaps the greatest theologian of his day, one of the greatest, as it is, musicians. He was Bach's biographer. He could have gone so many different directions, and yet he spent his whole life going, I need to figure out where all religion begins. What is the essence, the kernel of spirituality? And he searched and searched, and of course many know he became a medical doctor and moved to the coast of Africa, started a leper colony, spent a lot of time thinking, getting away further and further away from the academy to try and find the kernel of spirituality. What's at the heart of it all? And one day he finally determined it was reverence for life. There he was floating down the river and said, it occurred to me, doing good, helping life is good, hurting life is bad. Reverence for life. I am life that wants to live in the midst of other life that wants to live. That's where it all begins. The thinking person begins at that point. That is the center point of spirituality.
So is that a rejection of cogito ergo sum?
Well, I guess I exist, therefore, no, it's not. No. I mean, that's all knowledge begins there, right?
I think therefore I am.
No, it's not a rejection of it. I mean, I think that precedes it. Okay, so you think. So you're a thinker. I mean, okay, where do I go from this point where I think and, from cogito, you have everything.
Because,
you have everything from Ted Cruz to Mother Teresa from cogito.
Well, I mean, because that is one of those central questions that has, as far as we know, occupied the human species from the moment that we became cognizant or cognitive. I mean, for instance, little Johnny, little Johnny was in class one day, and the teacher was teaching a sort of little elementary school level version of biology and evolution. They lived in a forward-thinking state, not like, Texas or Mississippi or Alabama. And little Johnny's teacher said, humans are the only animals that stutter. And all of a sudden, little Johnny's hand shot up. And the teacher said, yes, little Johnny. And little Johnny said, that's not so. I have a cat who stutters. And she said, because, story, little kids talking about their pets and everything, sometimes they don't say, well, the pussy is licking me. they can be charming. And little Johnny said, yeah. I was in the backyard playing with my kitty cat, and this big old Rottweiler from next door took a run and jump and leaped over the fence, and my kitty cat looked and went, and before he could say fuck, the Rottweiler ate him right up.
Oh, Brother Bob, Waiting for Civilization. Hey, by the way, you wrote the introduction.
I did, and apparently the introduction is it can be read on Amazon.
Right, for a mere $11, people can read Bob Kincaid's introduction, and that is worth the $11 right there. Actually, I think the ebook is something like $2.99, and I don't know, $10.99 or $11.99 for the paperback. But thank you, Brother Bob, for writing the introduction to this book.
I had fun. I had to. It took me a while.
No, I think you nailed it. Not like Mrs. Pillow, but
I have a real hard time writing on demand. I do. I have to wait to be slain in the spirit, and I would probably be a published author if I could just sit down and. But I don't live in a world. You know, there's all that Hemingway-esque stuff where you need a clean, well-lighted place, and you know, you just get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, no matter what, and you sit there and you just start writing.
You know,
that ain't gonna happen for me.
At this point in my life, writing is really more like woodworking than anything else. It really is. It's craft. It's a craft that I spend 20 to 25 years developing.
Well, that's the thing. I sit down and write a free form poem. You know, I'm not very good at. I mean, I can rhyme when I want to, but I sit down and start writing a free form poem, and I've got them that I wrote 4 years ago that I'm still editing. I mean, there's medicine for that, I think. But
I'll tell you what you're good at, though, especially the old radio wave, the old Marconi, the old art of the Marconi. You handle the microphone better than almost all. It's always an absolute and true pleasure to share any kind of airwaves or ether waves with you, because you are the best. I'm just along for the ride. I'm just Robin, the Batman. It's always fun to play Pastor Bill to Brother Bob.
Oh, no. I get a big kick out of it every time we do this on a Wednesday, Eric. I want to share something with you because this was something that started in my mind a couple of days ago. Ferg and I had to drive over to Summersville, which is about 25 miles away. And as I mentioned the other night toward the end of the program, Monday night, I was talking with Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions. And Ferg and I were talking about how Bernie has all the cool songs. You know, he's got that awesome ad with America.
Right.
You know, the Simon and Garfunkel tune. The other day, I saw a group in Iowa who were apparently popular cut loose with This Land Is Your Land. And I started feeling kind of bad for Hillary. Because she doesn't have any cool rock and roll. Doesn't have any cool folk songs. I mean, what? If I had a hammer, I'd leverage it in the morning to a Wall Street hedge fund manager? I mean, no.
What about Bare Naked Ladies if I had $1 million?
No, that would have to be, I've already got $1 million, you peons. It occurred to Ferg and me as we were driving over, that we could provide her with a cool rock and roll song that she could use for her campaign. And I've already been told, I got told after Monday night that I don't get to sing it anymore, but I will read you the lyric. Are you game for this?
I am all ears.
I saw her today at the convention. A microphone in her hand. She said she'd get the nomination, but all her ads were way too canned. No, you can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want, but if you settle sometimes, you just might find you get Hillary.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I went down to my local drugstore to get my prescription filled. Hill said we'll never have single payer because her Wall Street pals had it killed. I told her kids should have free tuition. Student debt's no walk in the park. She looked at me like I was crazy and just declared, "We're not Denmark." She went to bomb a foreign nation, her favorite thing when there's a lull. I told her that seemed pretty ugly. She sneered and said, "Peace is dull." No, you can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want, but if you settle sometimes, you just might find you get Hillary. No, you can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you settle sometimes, you just might find you get dynasty.
Is this the freeform poem?
No. This is. God damn it, that rhymed. Tough crowd.
Oh my! Somewhere Mick Jagger licks his wounds.
Well, no. So at some point,
thing of beauty.
So I've got Ferg working on the chords. I need. We're working on getting a he's working on getting the harmonica part in there just right to replace.
Well, I can give you the French horn. Draconium Cathedral Ministry Worship Band.
Can you really?
Oh yeah. They can. They'll be here in a jiff.
I mean, we're gonna need the choir.
Yeah.
Because the thing begins with a choir.
Right. Well, and it's off season too, because usually our choir is depleted when the ladies' sand volleyball team is active. But we're off season, so you can get the full choir now.
Oh wait, I might be able to get to do the choir part?
The Rockheads?
No, the Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir.
Oh my God. You know, I think this may be a zenith. A zenith moment for Brother Bob and Pastor Pillow. I don't know about everything that's happened since we came out of the prayer tent, but this was a spectacular hour plus.
Oh, but there aren't any mailed in ones.
No, but this, I think we've set some sort of a Pelagium standard for going forward. But you know, the thing is, I'm pretty spent, so. You know, I got the fifth book, my fifth book in a year and a half. I've really been just killing it at the keyboard. But this is the best one, Waiting for Civilization. It's available on Amazon.
I read it. Yeah, I got to read it in advance, and I loved it. Because I love the concept of trying to sort of suss out exactly what we mean when we say civilization. Because as our dear friend Dr. John pointed out years ago now, neither civilization nor freedom are defined by the presence or the availability of a choice of 37 different sugar-laden breakfast cereals in your grocery cereal aisle.
But that's exactly it. Civilization isn't how many flavors. It's not how many stories high. I'm going to pull it up right now. It'll take me 2 seconds. I'm going to read it because it's everything that... It's the center point for my own exploration and definition of civilization. In his Nobel Peace Prize speech, Martin Luther King Jr. stated, "I have the audacity to believe that peoples everywhere can have 3 meals a day for their bodies, education and culture for their minds, and dignity, equality, and freedom for their spirits. I believe that what self-centered men have torn down, other-centered can build up." I mean, it's a long speech worth completely listening to and committing to memory, but within the heart of that speech is, I have the audacity to believe that peoples everywhere. Listen, just because Finland and Iceland have achieved something resembling civilization doesn't mean there's civilization yet. There's North Sudan, there's North Korea, there's North Dakota. I mean, there are many places in this world that have yet to have tasted the established audacity of 3 meals a day, education and culture, dignity and freedom. You know,
I mean, I joke from time to time, Eric, about wanting to or liking the opportunities that I have to go to civilization. And I'm using a very, very unenlightened definition of the term when I say it. But, you know, just to be able to go somewhere where I don't breathe coal smoke when I'm sitting in this room behind the microphone, as Ferg and I were coming home a little bit ago. We looked over at our neighbor's house, and there was this vile, yellowish, inky black smoke belching from a pair of chimneys. And I said to Ferg, well, this is going to be a lovely night in the studio. He says, yep. And the funny thing is, it's not even particularly cold outside. Here in the unheated, unair-conditioned, well, I mean, it's not unair-conditioned. The air conditioner's not on. But here in the...
Open the window and it's air-conditioned.
You know, there's no duct work. There's no central heat back here. In the studio right now, on the third day of February, 2016, it's 72 degrees.
Yeah.
And just outside right now, it's 54. It should not be 54 degrees here. But 54 degrees is damn sure not a good reason to throw a few lumps of coal in your fireplace, which is what these people do. And that ain't civilized. But there's an overarching idea, you know. I think in many ways civilization, Eric, is doing. Civilization has a lot to do with doing the right thing. For instance, burning coal for electricity, and even burning natural gas for electricity, is not doing the right thing. Renewable, sustainable energy is the right thing.
Right.
And so, now, to the extent that we blame
7 million Haitians for chopping down their trees and burning them underground and creating, you know, charcoal and deforestation and the erosion that follows so that they can feed themselves.
No, we blame the desperation that led them to that.
Right.
I mean, you don't blame the average workaday Mayan of 1,200 years ago who chopped down every tree in their region of Central America to burn lime with so that they could gesso their pyramids.
Right.
You blame where blame attaches, at least to my mind, is the ruling classes that demand that.
Right, and we don't blame the 19th century for coal, but we blame the 21st century for coal.
Right, because we know better.
Yes, because we could have made a decision 50 years ago as a society to go a different path, to go a path that other societies did go down, and they're there.
Well, the technologies for renewable energy have been out there for a hell of a lot more than 50 years, Eric.
One of the leading electricity execs in South Carolina once told me it's impossible for this state to put in a successful solar-powered infrastructure, that there isn't enough sun in South Carolina.
Oh, right. If we put up too many windmills, we'll spin the Earth right out of its orbit and we'll all freeze to death in the dark.
The idea that there isn't enough sun in South Carolina to produce meaningful alternative energy.
Well, no, there's not enough sun in South Carolina to obliterate the dark forces of the evil hydrocarbon money that runs that economy.
Right, and the only thing that there hasn't been enough sun on are my two butt cheeks in the past 42 years. There is more sun here than you can shake a fission at. It is what it is. But here we are. We're building a foundation for civilization. That's what
and some of that foundation. I mean, we spent a lot of time joking and joshing about Iowa. But you just about can't see a picture of the Iowan landscape now without seeing wind turbines all over the place.
That's true. If you've driven through many parts of rural Ohio, and they're everywhere. Well, it's gradual, right? But it shouldn't be gradual. That's the problem. It should be, hey, there's an emergency here. We need a lot of energy because there are lots of us, and we need to find ways to do it other than polluting. But it's kind of like the military industrial complex. So I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, it's unjustifiable. And he said, yes, but so many jobs depend on it. so many jobs depend on the military. And I said, it doesn't matter. Are you telling me the only reason we have an industry and an economy based completely on death and destruction is because we need it for jobs? That is no reason.
Well, you know, here in Appalachia, we spell it jobs. JAWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWWW me. He said, if I need to get down out of come down out of the trees, I trust you to tell me. He said, are we in West Virginia on the verge of facing a full on, full scale, absolute collapse? And I said, yes, we are. And we are. And it's frightening to be here. I feel like I'm reporting from a 50 yard line press box seat, looking at a little small scale hillbilly apocalypse. I just happened to catch a news story earlier where, I mean, we've got a 300, just a little bitty pissant state like West Virginia, okay? We've got a $350 million deficit, budget deficit crater. And we've got a week to fill it in. And the people who have to fill it in are a bunch of teabaggers whose answer is going to be, well, just shut that part down. And so, you know, I heard the story earlier today of one guy saying, what we need to do is we need to lay off a bunch of teachers. Jesus Christ, Eric, the last people that need laid off in any of this are teachers, because education is the only damned hope this place has.
I know. It doesn't give one much comfort to be a minor prophet, does it?
I didn't even get the seat cushion for the 50 yard line press box seat. Profit. Believe me, there ain't no profit here, no matter how you spell it.
Well, the thing is, the conclusion that I take, it's pretty much the one I began with in the book, Waiting for Civilization, right? Is that it hasn't begun yet. I mean, it's only just begun yet. Civilization isn't here. What we have before us is an opportunity to lay a foundation for civilization going forward, an opportunity to build a global structure for reverence for life. Tens of millions adhere to it. Hundreds of millions prefer to exercise the apate within them. Education is one of the only ways out.
I don't know if it's one of. I think it's the only way out.
But, I mean, there are many types of education, right? Let's be honest. Ted Cruz
you
is
mean
a
book,
highly educated.
Book, learn, book learning versus hands-on
Ted
learning?
Ted Cruz is a highly educated man. Donald Trump went to Trump University. You know, there are very evil people out there who Assad, by the way, is a doctor. So is Senator Paul. You know, these are educated human beings. George W. Bush is unintelligent as we all think he to be, was a pilot. I mean, there are varying degrees of education and intelligence, but, you know, it's a certain type of education that we need.
I want to share something with you, and I don't mean to keep you on the line for so damn long, but these conversations become very, very delightfully horizontal as opposed to sort of some sort of structured vertical thing. Of all the people to say something like this, it was Calvin Coolidge. And at one point in my life, I had to memorize this. I couldn't recite it now if I had to. I didn't commit it that well. But I was able to look it up. And it strikes me that this is instructive within the framework of your examination of civilization. Calvin Coolidge, who was a, you know, free marketeer, right-wing, miserable, never mind. But I think he got this part right. And when you mentioned different kinds of education and how Ted Cruz is highly educated, a little light bulb just went off over my head. Calvin Coolidge said, nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. And this is where I thought of Rafaelito Cruz. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, press on, has solved and always will solve the problems of the human race. But if ever this country has had an example of an educated derelict, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz is that example. I mean,
yeah.
as the saying goes, Rafael Cruz is what a stupid person thinks a smart person sounds like. Or maybe to modify it, Eric, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz is what a stupid fundamentalist person thinks a smart fundamentalist person sounds like. Because I don't think, I mean, you just said he's an educated man. I've heard him talk. He practically got laughed out of at least one Supreme Court hearing that I'm aware of. I can't remember the details, but I know what it was. It was when he was arguing to keep a man in jail, in prison, who had been improperly sentenced under the statute for which he was convicted. He was given 16 years when he should have gotten 5. And Rafaelito sat there and said, well, no, goddammit, that's what... Well, I mean, he didn't say the goddammit part, but he said, no, that's what the judge did, and we have to uphold what the judge did.
Well, I don't know.
And one of the judges looked at him and said, Mr. Cruz, in your state, are you not allowed to confess error?
Therein lies a rub.
But that's who this man is. He is a man who cannot confess error.
Well, welcome to Texas.
Welcome to the inside of Ted Cruz's head.
Yeah, one and the same. The thing is, and I appreciate being able to sort of just, you're right, these are much more, I don't know, I was going to say horizontal, I was going to say spaghetti noodle conversations that we have. My book is much more coherent. I enjoy coming on here and being able to just sort of,
We are the home of incoherence.
Chew the cud, as it were, and somewhere out there people will appreciate listening to it. I have 2 points. I have many points. You know, people always say, this is the thing, right? The thing.
Yea,
is,
verily, there are many things.
In my elder years, I will take comfort in knowing or having investigated that I don't have to worry. Civilization isn't in the balance. It's not here yet. My job is to help lay a foundation for it. I can do that through acts of kindness, through making arguments of reason, educating a young child, being a good librarian, all the other things that I commit to in life. I will do my part, what I can. I will encourage others to do the same. We might still be centuries removed from that foundation being laid. And I'm just talking about the foundation, let alone the actual edifice, you know, the structure itself. I take comfort knowing that we might still be a long ways off. Because, you know, you feel a lot of pressure. You feel pressure to get things right. Right now, this presidency really feels like it matters. I mean, my God, if Bernie Sanders doesn't become president, what the hell is going to happen to all of us? Well, you know, time will continue to go on. The Earth's been around for 4.5 billion years. It's going to be around for a few billion more. It might take a long time for us to get it right. We might raise the whole thing. We might have an apocalypse tomorrow. We might have to grow back up from the ashes like the phoenix and try it all over again. But I know that I will have done my best to lay the foundation, and maybe I can encourage enough people around me, find a community of others that think the same, and maybe we can, you know, lay a couple of bricks on the way.
Stack them. Don't lay them. Stack them. Somebody's got to climb.
Pour the cement. I mean, it's
well,
great.
I mean, it's like Devin says in the chat room, many points. Eric's like a veritable porcupine. Yeah.
You know, but then you watch the proverbial man in the street interview that Jimmy Kimmel and so many others have done. Who's the vice president of the United States? You know, who won the Civil War?
did you catch the latest thing from Jimmy Kimmel? Did you catch the Republican Jesus bit?
When you look at the pitchforkers
Well, now, if you didn't, just before we head out of here, and I think this will mute your mic when I start it. I don't often share bits from the late night comedy programs or whatnot, but this was particularly good because as he describes, what he's done is he's taken Republican presidential quotes, real live quotes, and invited Jesus on to say them, you know, from a pulpit and stuff and so forth.
God is a very important part of this primary election.
So here we go.
All of the candidates go out of their way to talk about the Bible and their faith. So we thought it would be interesting to take real quotes from the primary candidates. These are things these guys actually said. And we want to get an idea of what they would sound like from the mouth of Jesus. So here they are, the words of the candidates as read by Jesus himself.
You don't lock your doors because you hate the people on the outside. You lock your doors because you love the people on the inside. The fact is that we need appropriate vetting, and I don't think that orphans under 5 should be admitted into the United States at this point. You don't stop bad guys by taking away our guns. You stop bad guys by using our guns. Look at that face. I mean, would anybody vote for that? I would bomb the out of them. We'd just bomb those suckers. The other thing is, with the terrorists, you have to take out their families. I'll take the votes of everyone who likes machine guns and bacon. I will build a wall. It will be a great wall.
You'd always do that. Pretty good, don't you think? I like the part about where we have to kill their families. This is, you know.
I don't know. What can you? So you can see why I wrote a book called Waiting for Civilization.
Hey, gonna be a long.
You know, there's that moment in Voyage of the Dawn Treader where there's this wizard magician who Aslan has sentenced to this island, and he's forever damned, suspended amongst the island of, you know, it's the island of the monopods, right? These dim-witted, one-footed creatures that just hop about this island, and they're just moronic, and they drive the wizard absolutely batshit crazy. and Aslan has sentenced the wizard here to learn humility, right? And how can you just not feel for that wizard at times? I don't know, you know, I just don't know what you could say. So I've written a book. By the way, anybody out there who is a Bernie supporter, a Sanders supporter, who believes in the Sanders platform for building civilization, I'm putting on this huge event here in Columbia called Heartburn.
Yeah, I'd love to be down there for that.
Valentine's weekend, Burn the Rave, Heartburn. It's going to be gigantic. We're putting out the call all across the country for others, talents in music. Listen, if you're listening anywhere from sea to shining sea, and you've got a talent for comedy or music or design or you're a DJ, whatever, put together an awareness event for Bernie Sanders right now, or your candidate of choice, your progressive candidate of choice right now. Time is of the essence. Get your talents out there. Listen, we just saw...
Hide not thy light under a bushel.
A handful of votes made a huge difference not a few days ago. If you earnestly believe in your progressive candidate of choice, and mine is Bernie Sanders, get your talents out there and do something. Be a better progressive. Don't just be a memer. Live outside of the world of memes. You know, live outside of Facebook groups. Go out there, put on a button, talk to people, make it about the issues, make it positive. Don't smear. Use your talents, though. We're putting on a huge event February 13th in Columbia, South Carolina, called Heartburn, Burn the Rave. It's an alternate Valentine's Day event. It's going to be giant. You'll probably see it anywhere you are.
And so South Carolinians in particular, I mean, because they'd be the most likely to be able to get there, should probably look up that Facebook page, right?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page. It's called Heartburn, H-E-A-R-T, Heartburn, B-E-R-N, Heartburn, Burn the Rave, BERNTHERAVE, Heartburn, Burn the Rave. It's going to be a pretty cool affair. Of course, South Carolina's first in the South. So we've
And what is the date on that?
Saturday, February 13th.
No. The South Carolina primary.
The primary is the 27th. So we've got New Hampshire and Nevada coming up. And then on the 27th, South Carolina is the first in the South. Big. And then after that, March 1, and then we might have a sense of who the candidates will be. Well, we know it's going to be one of five, Bob. It's going to be Hillary, Bernie, Ted, Donald, and Marco going down the stretch.
Now, damn it, you're just not being, there you go being mean to Jebbia again.
Well, that's only because he ran off with Mrs. Bill.
Well, I understand it. By the way, you got a note in from Michael and Madison over on the Facebook. Quoting you, I can't get anyone to publish my pop-up scratch and sniff adaptation of the Song of Solomon. Michael says, might I humbly suggest a Kickstarter campaign? I'm sensing that Michael senses there's a market.
Listen, yeah, finally, I've got this prototype manuscript. What do I do with it? Oh, Bob, it's been fun.
Oh, it has been.
And it's been too long.
Well, it has been. It has been. Just been a lot of stuff going on, and well, there's a lot going. You know, that's what you do when you're in real radio, and you get sent out to do the remote there at Freddy's Texaco, free fill up with free car wash with fill up on Fridays, and they come to you. Oh, there's a lot going on down here. Yeah, there's been a lot going on.
It's too long, and joy comes in the morning. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Sheila comes in the evening.
Speaking of which, I have to go.
Goodbye now, brother Eric. Have yourself a lovely evening.
Catch me on progressives.com and my new book, Waiting for Civilization, on Amazon.
Absolutely. Take care. Good talking to you. We'll talk again soon, I trust. The one and only Eric Bjorn, ARIKBJORN. Yes, Waiting for Civilization is available over at Amazon.com, and if you click the little thing on the product page, the little thing that says "Looky here," you can read my intro. You know, that part's for free. So go on, enjoy. I had fun writing it. It's just brief. There's not a lot to it, but it was fun. The time it took to pull it together. It is about 8 minutes before the hour. We'll go ahead and take a break. A lot of other stuff to cover. And, well, no, let's not take a break. There's Thomas. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I'm among the good.
Or
at least the marginally acceptable.
You killed me earlier. You almost got bottles thrown at me.
Hooting like a barn owl, were we?
Yes. Yeah. I was asked, what the hell are you laughing at? And I couldn't even explain it.
What? There were headphones involved?
And then, no, I'm rather loud when I laugh. And I think I snorted one too many times because of the whole, you know.
Who in the f*** is that? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to say how right you were about the whole Trump thing. I really think he's red herring in this.
I get the sense I'm getting hustled.
Yeah, because, I mean, I looked at the campaign. They gave out the campaign info for the year end, right? For the quarter and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And almost $200,000 worth of monies have been given to Trump LLCs.
Yeah.
And the biggest one being the
Pardon me, Thomas, but you got away from your microphone somehow or another.
Sorry, am I better?
A little.
Okay, I apologize for that. How's that?
You're not what you were, but do continue.
It might be my Skype. And I apologize for that. It just drives me nuts that we have a situation that Trump is just there to be a loudmouth. Like, there's a story circulating where President Carter basically endorsed Bernie Sanders. And instead, the headline everywhere is President Carter picks Trump over Cruz.
Why would he even manifest a...
Well, he was in some kind of question and answer session or something, and that was part of it. If you had to choose a Republican, who would you choose, Trump or Cruz?
Yeah, that's where you say I just refuse to play that mad game.
Well, but he's nice, and he's,
I know, Christian. Yes.
Yeah, a real Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, real kind.
Yes, who doesn't wear it on their sleeve and use it to bomb people. Literally and figuratively. I really think that this is going to be Cruz, and it scares the hell out of me. And Trump does too, if it's him. But I'm really beginning to think that it might need, and I did said this off air, I might as well say it on air. I think it'll probably be Cruz, Bush, Rubio, or Kasich. In that order.
Okay, so we've got the Bush thing, and we might as well deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
I presume that you are familiar with the really pathetic thing that happened.
Yes, very familiar, yes.
Well, I'm going to run that audio so everybody else can hear it. This is truly pitiful.
Yeah.
Jebbia was at an event in New Hampshire, in Manchester, earlier today, and he was giving one of what was supposed to be his big applause lines.
Mm-hmm.
Only it didn't work. And let me see if I can get the audio to work. Okay, here we're trying.
Audio is hard.
Well, for some reason or another, it just... All right, that is not working. Let me try your channel. I may have to mute you for a moment in case there's an ad. Oh, no, there's no ad. Damn, that's awesome. So, again, this is Manchester, New Hampshire, and Jebbia trying to be all, butch. Only not so much.
So here's my pledge to you. I will be a commander-in-chief that will have the back of the military. I won't trash talk. I won't be a divider-in-chief or an agitator-in-chief. I won't be out there blowharding, talking a big game without backing it up. I think the next president needs to be a lot quieter, but send a signal that we're prepared to act in the national security interests of this country to get back in the business of creating a more peaceful world. Please clap.
Please clap. Please, yeah. please clap.
It was.
But the part of that clip that grabbed me, Thomas, was the "I won't be a blowhard" part. You mean like when your brother said, hey, "Bring him on."
Well, yeah. Well, that's it. Because, and here's my theory on why it could be Jeb. I get he sucks. I get that he's, worse than W, which is weird to even say. But my theory is that the Bush family and Cruz have a relationship. And Cruz originally asked for W's endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
When he didn't get that, he went to Sarah Palin and turned teabagger. So I think because he's a swarmy guy, I think it would be easy for him to pivot some and go, hat in hand to the Bush crime family and say, let's make a deal. What do I have to give to them? You see what I'm saying?
Well, I lost you there. You said, what do I have to give?
To get.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure Jebbia is done because I think I have at least a rudimentary understanding of the operative theory here. He has enough money to burn a sopping wet elephant with individual $100 bills. Okay?
Indeed.
And so all he has to do is wait. He's trying to play the Romney game. If you remember 2012, oh my God, at one point it was Michelle Bachmann, and then it was Herb 999 Kane. And then there was a how many people they flirted with Newt Gingrich. They flirted with Mike Huckabee and Bro Fro Mix Fetus Fondler Santorum. They did that and then they finally went, ah, shit. We got to go with Romney, don't we? Yeah, we do.
Sure. Well,
and that, so Bush already has the money, okay? He already has the war chest to simply hang around till the convention. Until the Republicans come to their senses. And by coming to their senses, that means come to heel at the beck and call of the money who, at the end of the day, still runs the Republican Party. The evangelical fundamentalists are convenient. They are handy. They're the get out the vote shock troops, but they are not the Republican Party. The Republican Party is money, 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 and more money. Now the question is, does Raffaellito have it? And Raffaellito's got his own little stable of billionaires.
Yes, he does.
And lobbyists are like the third class in terms of giving. Of people who are keeping his, who are building his campaign. So a lot of this has to do with billionaires. Which billionaires do the Republicans want to be the nominee? Which Republican do the billionaires want the Republicans to nominate? This doesn't have a goddamn thing to do with voters.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree.
Now, see, there you are. Your audio is very back and very nice. That's wonderful.
It has to be Skype. Skype hates me. It's never operator error, just saying. Here's the thing. I'm going back to, it's the climate, this election. And while I still think because Trump is a billionaire, he might still get it, I think losing has really hurt him. And I don't think he's going to win New Hampshire. I think he's going to come in second again. Probably stronger, but I think he's going to come in second. And I think the billionaires are going to make a deal with Cruz because I think they want to... The base, coming from somebody who used to be in the base... The base is pissed because just the way the liberal base is pissed. And if they don't see that they're getting their way, they may really walk and not be convinced to stay.
Oh, I want them to go home and stay there.
Well, I know, but the Republicans don't. And I think they're willing to make it like a grand bargain here because of the climate. Because if anything they know is they want it equally as bad, the billionaires do. So why not? They made a deal with Reagan, and look, they got a fucking saint out of it. Sorry. But it's true. So maybe this is the... And plus the whole... I know I see a mini Reagan in him. He plays that Mayberry Ronald Reagan thing really well. Unless he's trying to get a kiss from his kid. But... And I just think it's going to be him. And I don't know. It's a weird feeling I have. And I'm usually sadly right about things that are bad.
And you may be. And you may be. But I somehow expect that there's a little more fight left in this thing.
Oh, I'm not doubting that. But I think it's going to be like how the 80s were. Where it comes up to the two guys who don't really like each other and end up doing it. Now, it could be Cruz-Trump. It could be Trump-Cruz. More likely Trump-Cruz because Trump can squash Cruz's ego. But I think it's going to be very weird, this election, as if it wasn't already. And it's... It scares the hell out of me on the Republican side. I don't know about you, but it does me.
Well, the whole thing's frightening, and we are in for just month after month of sleaze and filth. And the only thing that I would tell people, especially the people who are pouring heart and soul into Bernie's campaign,
mm-hmm.
is to be of good cheer and to not lose heart.
Because yep.
part of making this process so sleazy and so filthy, Thomas, is in hopes that it will just make people stay the hell home.
Amen.
But see, here's the trick. We talk about Republicans will stay home. Nah, bullshit. No, they won't. That's like saying that Republicans will cross a ticket. Republicans piss and moan about straight ticket Democratic voters, of whom there are not nearly as many as most people think. But a Republican will vote a straight ticket as opposed to voting at all.
Oh, yeah, indeed. And in fact, I know that to be true because my best friend's grandmother used to do that all the time. And she would get all the mailers and everything. And, well, I trust him because of the mailers. And it's like, oh, my God, it's so you're voting against your own interest. But faith, God, Jesus, guns. And Obama was right on that. And it really scares me because if we get any of these Republicans in, they're going to continue to say that this is a center-right country, and I don't believe it is. I believe we are center-left. And I want to ask you this, Bob. Do you believe that this is and could be, if we had, like, say, a Cruz and a Bernie race, a race between conservatism and progressivism, a real honest-to-God referendum on that, and do we need that? Because I've been saying on my show that we do. And I believe we need to finally settle this and settle this debate. And if Bernie is the nominee, I think we could.
Well, it's not going to get. It's certainly not going to get settled if Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton is the nominee.
Agreed.
I don't. And you know, I'm not going to sit here and be nasty to about Senator Clinton. I'm just not, because like I've said before, Bernie has asked us not to do that.
Exactly, and I agree with you 100,000% on that. I don't do that either.
But the fact of the matter is, she's not a progressive. She's not liberal. She's only liberal within the fetid maunderings of the thin gray settlings that pass for the brains of the right wing. Every Democrat who gets the nomination is immediately tagged with the most liberal Democrat ever to be nominated since Leon Trotsky.
Yep.
And it does. It, I mean, they said that about Obama. Obama's not a liberal. There's nothing even remotely liberal about Barack Obama.
Agreed. And if you
he's a centrist to center right president. Bill Clinton was the best Republican president this country has had since Eisenhower.
Well, we are all corporations, so you're not wrong about calling this country a company, because we run it like a business, don't we?
Yeah, right into the ground. We run it like Enron.
Yep.
But there's, you know, I'm of the considered opinion that this country needs an FDR. And the other side of that coin is that this. Can you imagine what it would have been like for FDR if he'd had a Republican Congress to have to deal with?
I know. No, you're right.
Well, that's what we're looking at, because I don't want to pee in anybody's wheaties, but the House is not going to go Democrat this term. It is almost, if not entirely, mathematically impossible. So for at least the first 2 years of the next presidency, assuming either Hillary or Bernie is the president, they're going to have to figure out a way to be president despite the Congress. We might get the Senate back, maybe, possibly. but not, no, not the House. The earliest chance we have of flipping the House is, at least by my reckoning, November of 2022.
Yeah. Though, I will say to that point, Bob, I have seen polls that say just like Bernie beats Trump by 13 points, Bernie has a very slim, I want to make that clear, possibility of taking back the House because of the youth vote and because of the, you know, how the climate is. A definite chance of taking back the Senate, as does Hillary, but a very slim chance of the House, and Hillary doesn't have that. So if that's even a possibility, a minute one, I think that's all the more reason to try and get Bernie elected.
Well, I'm very clear on this. I see him as the last best hope of this country. I'll vote. I will. I'll do it. I'll vote for Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton if I have to. But I'm going to do so understanding that she's just going to govern as another center-right president. That's all. She'll make some noises about firearms, but she won't be able to do anything about them because of the Congress. She's not a legislator. What she's got is a veto pen that she can use to try to hold the line if she doesn't decide to triangulate and cut deals. I'm not that impressed with the Supreme Court argument, but I am, I will say this much, I trust her on one thing if I trust her on nothing else. I trust that she will haul out a veto pen if anybody tries to do anything congressionally to limit a woman's right to choose the how to manage the workings of her own body.
Yes, and don't forget Obamacare.
Because
they just tried to override that, I think yesterday or today, and they could not override the president's veto. And God forbid we don't get Bernie and we get a Republican, Obamacare is wiped off the face of the planet.
Sure.
And I can't afford that.
And I guess we're just such a pusillanimous bunch, Thomas, that the people who now have coverage won't take to the damn streets and scare the living bejesus out of these freaks for having sentenced them to death.
Exactly.
Because, you know, we're Murka, and Murka doesn't take to the streets.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Unless it's for an iPhone, then we're there in line for days.
Oh, and we'll start lining up at a barbecue joint at 8 o'clock in the morning that doesn't open till 11.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. I don't want to take any. I know you were going to go to break, and I really appreciate you let me on, but I just want to say thank you for the laughs, because I really needed them today, and I really appreciate every time we get a chance to talk.
Well, it is always a joy, Thomas. Without a doubt, it is always a joy.
Oh, well, I needed that. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you kindly. You have a lovely evening.
You too.
Bye now. That's our buddy Thomas from FYINation.com and host of Some Say. It is 13 minutes past the hour. And I do kind of need a little break. So, the hell, we'll cue up a song. A couple of things to think about. Carol points out, you know, I hate to think about Poppy Bush's fate. What with Babs hitting the after-dinner martini so hard, she's pissed to think every delegate's going to cost $20 million like in Iowa. There goes the family's ill-gotten gains. Nah, they won't even top. They won't even tap the Nazi money at that rate, Carol. I also want to hear your take on this. People are hailing her Iowa win as the first woman who ever won the Iowa caucus. Would people be hailing Bernie as the first Jew to win the Iowa caucuses? Yeah, I don't think so. Carol says, I call bullshit on people who say they're not voting for her because of her gender. I think there's some of that there. And it's understandable. I guess. I mean, there are no women in my family who are saying, I'm going to vote for Hillary because it's a woman's turn. Because the concept of turns inside a political process is horseshit. It's a first past the post, winner take all system. I'm not opposed to a woman being president, but I'm also not going to make a decision. I didn't vote for Barack Obama in 2008 because he was black or because Hillary was female. I'll be quite honest. I voted for Barack Obama because I don't trust Hillary Clinton. I just don't. I don't trust her to do the progressive things this country needs done. Just don't. Sorry. So here at 15 minutes past the hour, I will note thank you to Irish Dave, and thank you to Dave, and thank you to Anonymous, not that Anonymous, different Anonymous. We met Tracy's Challenge, and I just had a note from Brother Deacon Asa, who said, Brother Bob, the divine spirits, the 80 proof kind, done spoketh to me and done told me that there shall be a $40 challenge on the Ouija board table, provideth that a member of the Horn Cathedral of Common Sense offers a prayer in the name of that anointed king of Merca, that man of the cloth, that disciple of Jesus, ha! Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, Jr., hallelujah, amen, ha! Asa even wrote in the hex. I don't think he's too earnest about anybody praying for Rafaelito. But yes, there's another challenge on the table, which will get us to the finished with fundraising part of the evening. Thank you very kindly, Asa. And thank you to everybody who's gotten us almost there, done already. Let's see. A couple other emails. Steve says, thoughts, never ever going to happen. Five words, he took the Medicaid expansion. I'm thinking if Trump is a shill, it's for Rubio. Why? It's Trump who began to question Cruz's eligibility. Yeah, but see, that's kind of like hitting the other wrestler over a head with a folding chair. Then at the minute the guy who got dirty hit with the folding chair, everybody starts rooting for him. Mm-hmm. And he took the Medicaid expansion is why Kasich can't be the nominee. Steve, yeah, when did Democrats nominate Trotsky? Well, I mean, every candidate they've nominated has been secretly Trotsky. Didn't you know that? Meanwhile, Cindy in the Great Northwest says, talk about ringers. We over here at our house are of the opinion that O'Malley is a ringer on behalf of Hillary. Her covert ops are well-seasoned compared to Bernie's. Well, there's no doubt about that. And of course, he's gone now, and he never did put a dent in either one of the campaigns. We'll see who he endorses, or if he endorses. Meanwhile, from Steve in China, cogs in cogs. Cartesian dualism, of course, is an historical and accidental byproduct of religion, perhaps one rare fruit of its many preoccupations. Only an extraordinary genius of rationality would pose the problem to begin with. And a thinker whose mind works in the realm of mathematical reasoning and geometrical proof specifically is bound to eventually pose the fundamental division between a mental event and the physical act per se. Intention of thought, extension in space. The curious are invited to pursue the literature with regard to the current and accepted dissolution of his famous doubt, of course. But in a nutshell, and this has to do with I Think, Therefore I Am. In a nutshell, the rather obvious, because contemporary cutting of the Gordian knot invert the premise, be not so amazed at the conclusion. I am, therefore I think. I exist, therefore I am conscious. Reader's choice, existential given, a new doubt. Only a rationalizing genius who is also a devout Catholic would conceive of a problem to begin with. But then imagine yourself existing in a world without language at all, no symbols or utterances to represent any aspect or moment of your life, to express your feelings, no signs or semiotic signals with which to organize the reality of your every act, or the simplest known fact. Could such a chicken precede the egg? My God, I'll be up till 4 a.m. with that. Thanks, Steve. Thanks very kindly. And by the way, I wish you could see the stack. We got a lot. We got a lot to plow through. I don't know how much we'll get to. Some of it may wind up in the stack for Thorn in the Side Thursday, but that's okay too. All right, break time. This is the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
And about 12 o'clock, this old world's gonna reel and rock. Saints will tremble and cry for pain, for the Lord's gonna come in his heaven airplane.
Bless her heart. She makes God sound kind of like a, you know, a pitiful loser. Which, well, you know. This is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, the third day of February 2016. It's about 25 past the hour, and this the final hour of tonight's installment, tonight's episode. Tonight's episode! Never mind. And where and what and... In case you didn't know, bless his heart, Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, he's got some very tender, delicate fifis. Yeah. They're so tender. Our dear friend, another of our dear friends in the Great Northwest sent this along. The Hill, CNBC interviewed Lloyd Blankfein. Lloyd Blankfein, of course, presided over the near complete destruction of the American, and for that matter, big hunks of the world's economy. Bernie has described him as one of the Wall Street banks that triggered the financial meltdown. Let's check out the ad, shall we? Can we? No, I guess not. Never mind. But anyway, yesterday or today, talking to CNBC, Lloyd Blankfein said, because Bernie had specifically mentioned him by name, because he specifically took a massive pillage, and Bernie described it as being after destroying the economy, and you know, it's real, it's true, it happened, he did it. And between bites of peasant under glass, Lloyd Blankfein told CNBC, "To personalize it has potential to be a dangerous moment, not just for Wall Street, but for anybody who is a little bit out of line." You got that? You got that? Lloyd Blankfein admits that he may have been a little bit out of line in crashing the world economy. Yeah, a little, in soupçon, un piquito, huh? A little bit out of line. Just a little bit. It's pillage here, plunder there. After a while, it adds up to some real money. He also have said that Sanders and his ilk are too rigid to get anything done. Because, see, that's what you get. You gotta be Goldman Sachs flexible if you want to get anything done. Of course, all that flexible money that Goldman Sachs spreads around Washington, D.C., Capitol Hill, and what have you, and certain political candidates, well, that creates a certain inflexibility of its own now, doesn't it? What? You actually want to do something for working Americans and not try to bury your nose up the rectum of Goldman Sachs? Well, that's very inflexible of you. Asked if he was going to endorse anybody in the election, Blankfein said, "I don't want to help or hurt anybody by giving them an endorsement." In other words, no, I'm not going to endorse Hillary because you all know that I've got her tucked away right here in my coat pocket, because it would be poisonous for Lloyd Blankfein to say, "Oh, I do think that Hillary is our best bet." You know, not yours, you proles, but ours. Goldman Sachs. I mean, we need another Goldman Sachs treasurer in the government. But apparently, if you get a little bit out of line, Bernie's going to come after you. But then again, I've never gotten a little bit out of line to the tune of a few trillions of dollars. Yeah, no, sorry. Oh, yeah. That's kind of... By the way, the standoff is still ongoing out at the bird sanctuary. An indictment has been returned by the Oregon federal grand jury. It remains to be seen if, as and I hope he is, if Billable Rick was right Friday evening in noting that he expects the grand jury to throw the damn book at him. And I hope they do. I'd like for the potential sentencing to run up into triple digits for ammonium nitrate Bundy. We shall see. Ammonium nitrate's lawyer Mike Arnold is pitching a bitch and saying, "We want to see the indictment now, goddammit!" But a judge has said, "Yeah, you got to unseal the indictment within 24 hours." So that'll happen by tomorrow, and we'll know. We will know. God, I hope it includes stream littering and everything. But this is the funny part. The four remaining weirdos demanded that their continuing assault on the bird sanctuary, that it be mediated by Franklin Graham. No, really. Yeah. And he did confirm, or a spokes creep or something for Franklin did say that he had a phone call with them. Last I checked, they were down to one phone line. All the others, if they try to use their cell phones, it rings through to the FBI. So I guess we can do that kind of thing. Hello? This isn't Domino's? No, this is the FBI. Well, could you bring us some Domino's? No. Yeah, it's a little scary, but Jesus Christ, it's technology. You didn't think we could do that? But Franklin Graham, all by himself, this is kind of funny. Franklin says, "We've only had secular government for a little while now." Yeah, just like, you know, only since that one got into our White House, right? Sure. Shut up, Franklin. And then there's somebody I have never heard of before. Victoria Sharp. She bills herself as a Christian singer. She was with Lavoie Finkham when Lavoie Finkham decided to get all stupid and dead. Well, I mean, he was stupid before he was dead, but never mind. She went up and became part of the invasion so that she could do some singing along with her family. And she's out there hooting and hollering that Lavoie was murdered as he tried to surrender. And said, "I pray that Lavoie's death will show the American people that these people were inhumane to him." No, sweetheart. Inhumane is when you gun down a young black man who's unarmed and leave his body to bleed out in the middle of a 90 degree Missouri street for hours on end. Yeah, that's inhumane. Now, they let him go for his gun twice before they shot him. Interviewed by CNN, she said, "When he got out of that vehicle, he was not showing any signs of aggression. He had his hands in the air, and he was walking, and he was in snow, and he was very vulnerable, and they shot him dead." I can't say if he was reaching for a weapon or not. No, he was flailing his arms because he was trying to walk through the snow. Yeah, I know. She was asked, "You almost got shot and you're still willing to be part of a protest in the future? It's worth it. If I lose my life for the future of America, it's worth it." stupid. Hopefully this will be dealt with. Oops. Okay. Nope, that won't work. Sorry. I just realized we've got a problem with the stress line. For some reason, it is no longer paired. Take care of that right now. All right, it's paired up. And what else? Jennifer asking, you know, why didn't they do that a month ago, the FBI? Yeah, well, that's one of the problems. Why didn't they? Hey, we get a giggle or two along the way, right? Sure. You remember remember the weirdo preacher in Harlem who declared that the homos were putting stuff in the coffee? Well, Atla Worldwide Church has been ordered to be sold at auction because they're down about $1 million in taxes and other debts. Another group, a spiritual LGBT group called Rivers of Living Waters Ministries, has started fundraising to buy the church. And this past Monday, when the Reverend Manning took to his very bizarre microphone, well, he wasn't in a very good frame of mind. No, not at all. Get the hockey puck out. Just do, okay? Please, for me, yeah.
But I see this, as many of the elders have discussed, as just more of an opportunity for us to get more press and to get more coverage to explain our position. And as to who we are right now, the articles are jumping all over the place. I've gotten calls from everybody about this, the news organization. In fact, can I share this with you, to all the sodomites that think that you're going to purchase this church at a foreclosure sale? Let me tell you something. Before you can ever own the Lord's house, because that's what this is.
That's right.
This is the Lord's house. Mm-hmm. This ain't no damn bath house.
That's right.
This ain't no fag house. This is the Lord's house.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And before you can ever own this property, hook or crook to own this property, you will be carried, men who are fags with testicles will be carrying babies in their testicles and giving birth to them through their anus. That's how impossible it is for you to
That's
get
right.
this house.
Right.
When you start carrying a baby in your bags
yes,
and birthing that baby through your ass, then
right.
you can own this house. Until
that,
I see you pull a baby out yes. your ass, you ain't going to pull this church out from underneath to us. And boom shakalaka yes. goes right there.
Yes,
and all
was.
You fags can go to hell
That's
and
right.
do it now. I'm James David Manning, everybody. I'm the Lord's servant.
Yes, he is. Oh, and you think I'm just doing shtick when we open prayer meeting Wednesday? Don't I? I can't get near that. Hoo-wee! So you got the River of Living Waters Ministry raising money to buy it at a foreclosure sale, and you got the Allie Forney Center for LGBT Youth. They've raised over $140,000 in a crowdfunding campaign to bid on the property. It's going to take about $1.2 million to buy the building. I don't know what the fumigation costs will be, because there's been one gets the idea that Pastor Brother Reverend Manning is a nasty, nasty, nasty man. Mm-hmm. Miss Jackson, if you please. Yeah, that was just a giggle. Because hate is hate. And that's just... sometimes there's not a lot of railing to do. Sometimes you just laugh at the freaks. Just laugh and laugh. Mm-hmm. And then, up in New Hampshire way, we have an entirely different freak. We have State Representative Ken Weiler, W-E-Y-L-E-R. And this guy is a freak. Talking Points Memo has the story. Today, at a State of New Hampshire House Committee hearing, on a bill that he co-sponsored, Republican Weiler testified, glory, that his bill would prohibit, quote, any member of a foreign terrorist organization from receiving public assistance, medical assistance, or food stamps. Well, okay. Because I'm just guessing neither in New Hampshire or most anywhere else are people just walking into the welfare office saying, hi, Allahu Akbar, y'all. I'm here for my SNAP benefits card. I'm a member of Boko Haram and ISIS and Al Qaeda, and I mean, I signed on for the lifetime membership. Well, his bill says that they couldn't qualify for no damn food stamps, cause Merca. Yeah, you're waiting for the rebirth, aren't you? So I guess that's. That's what Ken Weiler's constituents are worried about. Yeah. All those useless food eaters from ISIS, who are living in the Granite State, lurking up at Dick's Notch or wherever the first people are to cast votes in a presidential election or whatever. But he was in the spirit. So he kept on a-talking. Oh, this, after the Reverend Manning clip, this from Jennifer. Hey, wow, just wow. Is this the end of days, at least for Merca? I envision one day Bob just throwing down the mic, putting on the Doors the End and walking off into the mists. Yeah, see, we got to work on that. Maybe we'll put it in the crowdfunding campaign. I need a droppable mic. This one happens to be on a gooseneck because in a broadcast studio, there's no mic to drop. Maybe I could give it a good slap or something. I mean, they're pretty resilient. But I like the walking off into the mists part. Yeah, boom shakalaka. And there they are, as Carol notes, walking into the food stamp office in Nashua. We is the bad headloppers, but we's hungry. Mm-hmm. So he kept on testifying, giving public benefits. Wait a minute, I'm in New Hampshire, aren't I? Giving public benefits to any person or family that practices Islam is aiding and abetting the enemy. That's treason. Oh, it was written testimony, but, he thought it that way. Little teeny tiny itsy bitsy state like New Hampshire, they got 400 members in their House of Representatives and Delegates Assembly. And After all, and he used the Boston Marathon bombing as his vaulting thing, like gymnastics. And he said, all the terrorist attacks of the last 20 years have been by Muslim fanatics. The Boston Marathon bombers were raised on public benefits. Then one of them married and put his wife on public benefits. If he had to support his family, he might have had more devotion to his job and not to bomb buildings and radicalizing his brother. Muslims in our community who are working hard to be economically successful, I suppose they're all right. I do not believe that they represent a threat, but if one does not have to be responsible for what all the rest of us do to support ourselves, then the devil has work for idle hands. I got this crazy notion that this is not going to pass constitutional muster. Giving public benefits to any person or family that practices Islam is aiding and abetting the enemy. Because, you know, all them Islams look alike. But I like the part about where all the terrorist attacks of the last 20 years have been by Muslim fanatics. That's my favorite. Because, well, you know, secret Muslims, Dylan Roof, secret Muslim, Robert Deer, secret Muslim. Mm-hmm. What's his name in Aurora, Colorado? Secret Muslim. The guy up in Oregon, secret Muslim. I guess that's what happens. You know, you're a lawful gun owner, but the minute you squeeze the trigger and become an awful gun owner, you also get de facto converted to Islam. But then, I mean, but the full on weird. You may hear from some opposition to this bill, but I must remind you that in the Muslim religion, the word taqiyya. I thought that was a, wait, okay, no. No, those are taquitos. I love them. God help me, I love Tex-Mex so much. The word taqiyya describes how its adherents are expected to lie to non-believers to advance their cause. I say cause rather than religion because this is an ideology posing as a religion. Islam is intolerant and deceitful, and its adherents are ordered to overthrow our way of life and to replace it with Sharia law. Anyone who attends a mosque is expected to contribute. 10% of the contributions are labelized zakat and are used to fund jihad or religious war against us. This is not going over so well. Representative Shurtleff, also a member of the New Hampshire House, the House Democratic leader, Steve Shurtleff, said, the outrageous claims made by Representative Wyler included the false statement that all terrorist attacks in the United States have been carried out by Muslims. Could be the most outrageous, intolerant, hateful rhetoric that I have heard in over 12 years as a legislator, and I serve in New Hampshire, and we have no, I'm added that part. The notion espoused by Representative Wyler that Islam is intolerant and deceitful and an ideology posing as a religion show that Representative Wyler has no understanding of the Islamic faith and the values over 3 million American Muslims. Well, you see, you're going a little soft on him there, because what you need to say, Representative Shurtleff, is this makes me wonder in the extreme about the real freaks who sent Representative Wyler to the state capitol. What the is wrong with you people? Yeah, see, I'm like that too. Carol says I wasn't aware that that Timothy McVeigh was a Muslim. Maybe it's kind of like being baptized Mormon after you die. Yeah, it sounds exactly like that. Only it's after you pull the trigger or set off the bomb. Sadly, no, Brother Deacon Asa. It is not. Reverend Manning is not a joke. Using his tax-free religious status, he preaches hatred every time the doors open at that bizarre freak show in Harlem. And somehow or another, it doesn't feel like religious persecution if he gets thrown out of his freak show building because he's a, well, you know, dick who, you know, engages in fraud. Meanwhile, just one more little manifestation of the love of God, the loving grace of the church. This is the story of Darlene Paulk, P-A-W-E-L-K. She's 84. For 50 years, she was an active member of St. Mark's Lutheran Church. And when she, back when her husband passed away, her husband was buried in church, in the church cemetery. And she had a paid burial plot next to him. These things matter. They really do. They matter. And I guess she had a falling out with the church. Disagreements with the congregation. I don't know what the nature of the disagreements are. But she had a bought and paid for burial plot next to her husband on church grounds. Well, the church wrote a letter to the widow Paulk. Well, the letter said, since you have ignored our efforts to reach you and have failed to return to your Lord Jesus in the divine service to receive from him the gifts of his word and holy supper given from God to us that we may have forgiveness in life, you have self-excluded. Scripture is clear about those who remain in unrepentance. Your soul is in mortal danger. And because you have self-excluded, you are no longer eligible to be buried next to your husband in the plot that you have paid for. This did not sit well with a man named Joshua Mason. He put the letter they sent to his granny up on social media, saying, the Lutheran Church wants to call themselves Christians? My grandma's 84 effing years old. Her soul is in danger? She can't be buried in a plot she already paid for? Scumbags! So, there's a happy ending here. And that's kind of why we're going to wrap up with this. This is the power of social media. Even yea, verily, power over the church. Pastor Leroy Lee Plant, wow, said, it was a mistake, and we've been deeply apologetic and reached out to the family, and we hope even today they'll sit down with us. No, the family's holding out for an apology. A real one. Not a statement that we've been deeply apologetic. But the church does now say that she can be buried next to her husband. And to the best of our knowledge, their fingers weren't crossed, and they haven't dug him up and put him somewhere. No. Episcopals and Anglicans are Catholic light with an English accent. Lutherans are, of course, Catholic light with a German accent. Yeah. So that's where we find ourselves. We have We still have Brother Deacon Asa's challenge on the table. And thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa, for making that. Maybe it'll be met overnight. Tomorrow, of course, will be Thorn in the Side Thursday. And I have a feeling we will have plenty to work with. I'm looking at a good four or five stories that, shoot, we could jump on already. Oh, one last thing. Just in case you were wondering, that one in our White House, the Kenyan Muslim usurper, she's gone but not forgotten. Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman expects World War III to break out and Armageddon to be coming because of what's going on in Syria. Of course, she was promptly invited onto a right-wing radio show about the end times. But you know who's going to make it be World War III and Armageddon? Mm-hmm, yeah, that one. I believe they are positioning themselves so that someday they could invade Israel to be able to take over the vast stores of oil and natural gas that Israel is controlling. This very unique new partnership between Iran and Russia and Syria lines up with Scripture. We're going to have a global world order keeping their game going into the future and to support them if they would invade against Israel. But the best part is that after he leaves office, apparently, and the right wing doesn't quite know what's going to happen to Barack Obama. Some of them think is going to appoint him to the Supreme Court. He would not be the first former president. Would he? I don't know. No, we've had another president who went to the Supreme Court after the presidency. But Michelle Bachman thinks he's going to be made Secretary General of the UN. Mm-hmm. Obama would only go into an empowered, powerful UN, powerful enough to see the United States come under the UN's authority. The whole idea of Obama being able to extend his presidency, even enhance it and expand it, I don't think I need to say what I'm thinking, because I think a lot of the listeners are thinking the same thing, and we all are too, and as you shake your head, you wonder what's coming next. She's overworking the word thinking, I think. But it's all the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And that one, the Kenyan Muslim usurper. Yeah, Antichrist. So it's time to get out of here. Again, thank you one and all for joining in on this prayer meeting Wednesday. I had a lovely, it was a wonderful conversation with Pastor Pillow and Eric Bjorn. Thorn in the Side Thursday tomorrow. Thank you to all of you for the time you spend in listening to this program. It is it's a powerful inspiration. No God necessary. Thanks for your continued support that allows us to remain on the air. You really can't, it's the only way we do. Thanks, I don't have his authority to do so, but thank you on behalf of George Soros and all the other cruise missile limousine liberals for picking up their slack and making independent progressive broadcasting possible. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.